WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. With a name like Brinsley Schwartz, how far could a rock band be expected to go? Rock and roll historian Ed Ward says that after a shaky start back in the late 60s, Brinsley Schwartz, the band and the man, gave us some rock and roll magic.
If there are two pop music myths that I'd prefer to believe, they would be these. First, that you can't force a phenomenon to happen, and second, that the good stuff will always win out. Of course, that's a lot of wishful thinking, but occasionally it's just what happens. Take the case of Brinsley Schwartz, for instance. Brinsley Schwartz, the band, began life as Kippington Lodge, a sort of nondescript hippie band operating around London in the late 60s. The guitarist was a fairly talented guy named Brinsley Schwartz, and the bass player was a prolific songwriter named Nick Lowe. Along with keyboardist Bob Andrews and drummer Billy Rankin, they were doing all right until a management firm called Fame Pushers Limited got a hold of them. Fame Pushers decided this band was the next big thing, and in what must have been one of the most horribly misguided campaigns of all time, flew a plane load of British journalists to the Fillmore East to witness the band's American debut. The poor press guys weren't even allowed a day to get over their jet lag, and the band, nervous as could be, played a lousy set. On top of that, the first album was pretty mediocre, and it got roasted. The band went back to London. That should have been the end of it, but it wasn't. The band decided to stick it out, and late in 1970 put out a second album with the understandable title, Despite It All. Songs like Country Girl were totally unlike anything being done in England at the time, and sounded a lot more like an American group, like The Band, than anything else. But everybody was still feeling burned by the Fame Pushers experience, and the Brinsleys lost their big record contract in America. They'd get two albums on United Artists in 1971 and 72, but to all intents and purposes, they disappeared. Still, the music they were making was getting better, as they were getting more obscure. They were, as the song says, happy doing what they were doing, and it sounded like it. So much so that by their third album, Silver Pistol, they were threatening to get so laid back they'd just stop. Once I made a fortune, but I wouldn't play their stupid games with these orders to the Holy Land and a silver. But then something remarkable happened. Along with a couple of other bands like Ducks Deluxe and Bees Make Honey, Brinsley Schwartz had started a sort of anti-scene. People who were put off by the glam rock posturing of Elton John and David Bowie could hear well-made rock and roll in informal and inexpensive surroundings. Pub rock, it was called, a reminder that the deep meaning that some performers were trying to impose on poor old rock and roll wasn't the point. Something really gone. Some people, they were dancing, and some were clapping hands, and some others were just lying close, making sweet romance. But the hour was growing later, and the party had shoving fun. And when Frankie said, come on, let's break it up, everybody spoke out at once. Play that fast thing one more time. Songs like Play That Fast Thing One More Time were just fun. For various reasons, lack of money for one, the band fell apart at the end of 1974, but not before delivering their masterpiece, the new favorites of Brinsley Schwartz, 10 amazing songs, including this one.
Searching for light in the darkness of insanity. Oh yeah, I ask myself, is all hope gone? Is there only pain, hatred and misery? Oh yeah, and each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing.
As the cynical 70s began to take hold, Brinsley Schwartz, as unfashionable as ever, asked the important musical question, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Elvis Costello asked the same question 4 years later on his album Armed Forces, produced by the Brinsley's bass player, Nick Lowe. The band may be gone, but I think people may yet discover that their songs really had staying power.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.